just want to talk about the gentleness of the all-powerful Spirit of God and how to have the Spirit's operation, you know, in our lives more on a continual basis. So it's important to become more acquainted with the nature of the Lord's Spirit, how He is, how He moves, and what He's in us for. And one thing that's neat about Him is, as you were talking about the Spirit of God, so it's kind of funny because I'm down here talking about Him just through the revelation that He gives. And of course, they know who they are. They know all about themselves. And here we are talking about them. Sometimes I get this image, they're up there like, not exactly like that. Or that's good, you know. And so His Spirit's in us to help us, and we learn. We learn a lot of things as we grow, before we grow, and after. So it's obvious that to have His Spirit's in us for a lot of reasons, and some of the wonders of His Spirit being in us is it just gives a testimony that we are a child of God. The fact that His Spirit in us is saying that you are a child of God. So there should be no doubt about that. And because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. He also bears witness that we've been made righteous. And because that follows being made righteous, so we are 100% righteous before God in our standing, and that we have an inheritance. And so those are the wonders of what the Spirit in us gives testimony to about us in our relationship with God. And then we know the work of the Spirit is He produces the nature of God in us and will help us to become more of a loving person, joyful, peaceful. And that's the fruit. It's the fruit. You know, we're always quick to name the fruit, these nine things. And I've read different things about it and how they all can be summed up in love. And it's basically, it's just the fruit. It's the evidence of God's Spirit in you is manifested that you become more loving, more joyful. You'll experience joy in the midst of what the world would not have joy in, and peaceful. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. The fact is, it's evidence that we are sensitive to Him. We're allowing Him to work in us. We're cooperating with Him instead of resisting Him. And you'll see, as you grow and you walk with the Lord, you're going to see the evidence of Him in you. You'll see the evidence of you allowing Him to work in you, allowing God to work in you. And you just look back at, and you just look at that, what's mentioned. Love is increasing, joy, in the midst of things that you didn't normally have joy about. Not that you have joy about something bad that happened, but you're going to have joy in some unpleasant situations, or when you're experiencing lack and you're trusting God instead of being anxious. Not only do you have peace, but you'll find yourself even rejoicing. And not always spontaneously, but it will come as we rely upon Him and nurture the fruit of the Spirit in us. But talking about the gentleness of the all-powerful Spirit of God is, I'm going to read Luke chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and 23. So if you have that, or if they're... Luke chapter 3, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while He prayed, the heaven was open. So when you see this account in other Gospels, in John and in Matthew, in Matthew it talks about how He came up immediately out of the water. So you know He was immersed. That's a good model of being baptized. He wasn't sprinkled. He was put under. He was baptized. The name was immersed. and united together with the water. And when he came up, he began to pray when he came up. You see that in Luke 3, verse 21, then verse 22. And he prayed, and the heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove, not like a tiger, not like a bear, but like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You're my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. So, you know, you look at that, and by God's purpose, the Father chose that the Spirit would come upon him in bodily form like a dove, or in the form of a dove. Why not a tiger? Why not the lion of the tribe of Judah? And so we're looking at the gentleness of the all-powerful Spirit of God. And another account of that says the Spirit remained upon him. So just like Samson would come on and lift back in that era in the Old Testament, dispensation of time. But for Jesus, he remained on him. So this was the beginning. If you go to Isaiah 42, this was the beginning of the fulfillment of a prophecy spoken by the Lord through Isaiah. In Isaiah 42, so what we're just taking a moment to look at, we're noticing that the Spirit came on Jesus in the form of a dove. Notice how the Father affirmed his Son. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So he affirmed not just that he was his Son, but it's my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And what that is, it's testifying that Jesus always pleased his Father. And you put all this together, you know, the Spirit remained on him. You can say because he always pleased the Father. And we're also taking a look at the nature of the Son and how he was used by the Spirit. And we learn these things. We learn about this. And so we go to Isaiah 42, verse 1. "Behold, prophetically, and it came to pass, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." So we see there's a purpose there. So, you know, if someone just continues to remark about, "You know what, I received the Holy Spirit back in." Man, that's great. So what's he on you for? You know, what have you seen your ministry then by the Holy Spirit? That by him, what are you doing? Because he's on us for a purpose. Now, the purpose, there's a purpose that he's on all of us for, but then there's specific purposes that's unique. So like how he used me, how he uses you is different. He gives me images or gives me words or reference comes to my mind. And it's just like, wow, what's this reference? And look it up. You're like, wow. So you begin, and what happens is you begin to become confident that these things are the Lord, and you grow in that. So, but you all of us have to start out with our little baby step and our toddler walking, and then with help, and then you mature in these things, always reliant, 100%. So like for me tonight, I received nothing and just waited and just, "Lord, you be glorified. Use the body." And I'm just praying, and you just start getting a sense, and just started, I got up, just started walking, and just, "Here, this one, it just comes." And just trusting God to remember those things. So he's glorified, and you're just like, "Wow, Lord, look what you're doing, how people were encouraged." How many of y'all were encouraged tonight? You know, just about everybody's encouraged, you know. And with me, he'll use me to discern that, hey, the Lord wants to use you to bless this person. Now, it's up to that person's faith. And I've come If it's someone I don't know that well, then I am gentle in introducing that. But some of us have been ministering a lot together, and so have that sense, and I'm confident that, okay. And sometimes they have it, they already have it, sometimes they don't, but as you step out in faith. So Jacob, did you get a word for Willie, a word of encouragement? Isn't that neat? But did you have it when I spoke it to you? No. But what he said, he keeps his mind open. You know, but we work that way together, we learn, and it just, there's no pressure. It's a sense. And like if it didn't happen, it didn't happen. You know, we just grow and we walk through that. But I wouldn't expect, I stay open, but God gave me, saw the oyster, saw the pearl. I was thinking, wow, you know, something's going to come. I have to be patient. And what it was like, no, I saw the pearl, and now I kind of know what that means. The pearl being put into his hands. And it came from rough, something rough, but God's entrusting you, Willie. That encourages you, doesn't it? You know what that is, don't you? Yep. And we're going to have to talk about that. So that is so neat. What an image. You know, and then to discern, hey, should this be in private? So same thing with faith. There was a sense, hey, come down and just start getting an initial. And then after a while, I was led to go and pray. And the Lord gave me a word that really put the two together. And now we had the full picture. But at that moment, it was good. But I felt not to be spoken in public. So I might have said something in public here tonight that would have been better not to. And the Lord will show me that. I don't know it yet. And but that's all good. It's all good, isn't it? And this is good. So look, what we see here, and the Lord said, my servant. But aren't we his servants? Right. And then he said, my elect. But aren't we now in Christ called the elect ones? Yes. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. We're already holy, separated from the filth of the world, purified, sprinkled with the blood, set apart. We've been made holy. Wow. Think about that. We've been made so clean, a fit dwelling place for God's Spirit. We had to be cleaned up. I don't mind, you know, I just do not like my dog when it's stinky or gets out of the wet, you know, wet, getting on my lap. Yeah, you know. I'm like, Rhonda, clean it up, and then it can come sit on my lap. And I'm stretching that a little bit. But you know, God was like that, son, I'm going to send you to clean up so they can come and sit on my lap. Because we couldn't go to heaven unclean. Isn't that amazing? So he cleaned us up so we can be made fit. So in being saved, we were made fit for his own Spirit. And we're going to go somewhere with this. It's really important. His own Spirit. I will venture to say the most sensitive area in your life is your spirit. Inside. It would take a pretty tough punch to bruise this guy. You know, mine just couldn't do it, you know. And it wouldn't flinch him. But if someone hit him that hurt him, okay? But if it was a friend, it could hurt his arm. It might even put a little bruise. You know, but then there's somebody that can come along and say something that won't put a bruise on his arm, but that can hurt him deeply. Even though we ventured, Lord, I want to be unoffendable. I'm a dead, you know, but why did I feel that? That hurt. And that's what I'm saying, the spirit feels. You have a spirit. And I was blessed, and my wife knows this, and we woke up and we were at a place and she's laying next to me, and I just woke up praying in the spirit, And this person came to my mind. I knew I was praying for a relative. And then the Lord showed me their spirit, and I saw a spirit. Didn't see a spirit, saw her spirit. And I saw all these bruises. And it just hurt me just to see that. That person was hurt multiple times. And we know this person, and they went through some inner healing time, and God's done such a deep work. And it was cool. I was drawn to come up here in the sanctuary yesterday and in the afternoon. Just got home. I go spend time with my wife. Been up here all morning and had a glorious time. Elders, we're just in the spirit of prayer. We didn't even pray much together, just spirit of prayer, just quiet 45 minutes. And so, Lord, it just drew me. And I said, honey, I got to go back up there. I wanted to say hi. Faith and Sarah were visiting. And I'm like, I got to go. I just got to go. And so I came, just laid right here. And I knew, Lord, I'm going to be drawn into the heavenlies. And I was blessed with a vision. And right at the end of it, I saw this person. And they were so full of joy. And so I just put it on a text message, and I just said, hey, and sent this message. They live out of state. This is what I saw. Well, when I finally got to go home, they said, was this meant for me? And I said, it sure was, and I gave more insight. I needed this. And then I said, this playlist, and I said, I really sense you need to listen to this as soon as you can. God's going to do this. It's going to come to pass. And they just respond. I feel a tug on my heart. I'm going to do this. So I'm anxious in a good way to hear what God did in that person's life. All because just being drawn, paying attention to the drawing, doing what he said to do, positioning yourself. I was blessed with a vision, and at the end of it, this happened. And then you just send that. You know, it's like, wow, all day, you know, just being sensitive, you know, at work and what you're doing, just learning to be sensitive while you're talking, while you're dealing with things. You're doing your job, and you're just the awareness that we can operate in both worlds at the same time. We're learning to live from above. We're learning to dwell up there while we're here. And practice that right now. You listen. Listen to what's being done. Just, Lord, just help us. Lord, even tonight, Lord, just help all of us to become more and more sensitive to your spirit dwelling in our spirit. That will be more of a dominant nature in us, and the soul follows being purified and our physical body follows. Amen. So you see, he delighted. And so we want to walk in that role as his servants, whom he upholds, elect ones, because we are the elect. And to do those things, he already delights in us just because we're his kids. That's a given. But we want to do the things, because if we don't do the things that please him, then we will quench. See, if we grieve the Spirit, we will quench the Spirit. And if we quench the Spirit, in other words, all these things that happened tonight, if I quenched him for me, then it would not have flown. It would not have happened. Period. It's just, if I grieved him before I got here or something, if I just snapped and I would have grieved him. Well, could it have happened? I would have had to repent real quick and get a lot of mercy and let the floodgates open. Y'all know what I mean? And he just teaches us. We really can't afford to go down that often. We got to learn to stay up in him. Stay up. Stay up. And when you're hit with something, just, Lord, help me get through this real quick. And just rely on the Holy Spirit to stay up. Because the more we're down, the more useless we are. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you just got out of an argument with your spouse, don't tell me you're just flowing in the spirit when you walk out of the house. You're like, you're flowing in conviction. Forgive, you know. Y'all, come on, please. You know what I'm talking about? Good. So Jesus said, the Father has not left me alone because I always do those things that please him. Always. And the Father never left him alone. Now, he would have never forsook him. And that's just beside Jesus. He was just going to do it. You know, there's no what ifs. What if he would have sinned? There is none because he didn't and he wouldn't. You know, he went through it. But the Father leaves me alone sometimes. But he doesn't forsake me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, we got that. So, and you know, if you're under divine discipline, you feel that. You're like, oh, God, I'm going to ride this out, but please. And David prayed this sometimes. Lord, remove your gaze from me. It's hurting my bones. Paraphrase a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Here's my, Lord, I just, oh, I'm swimming in my tears. Remove your gaze. It's hot. I can't take that. Hey, I won't do that again. So in verse 2, it says, he will not cry out. So we're looking at the nature of God. He did lift his voice, but it's different. When he said in verse 2, Isaiah 42, he will not cry out nor raise his voice. And Jesus was not a screamer. He'd scream at people. He was not a yeller. He didn't revile. That's you know. He wasn't out there to make a reputation. Hey, everybody come to me. You know, it wasn't that way. You know, y'all know that. And a bruised reed, he was really sensitive. You know, I've just been, in my history, I think sometimes ministers, they got the wrong congregation, and they just been reading about how Jesus addressed the Pharisees, but they're coming to a congregation, y'all, in my experience. They think that their congregation, the people they're going to visit, are a bunch of brood of vipers. And they missed it. You're like, you know, you're taking the word out of context. That's not a word for everybody, you know. You know what I'm saying? And that's the importance. So just from God's point of view, it's like, you know, that's my word, but it's the wrong group. Or, yeah, that's my word, but that's not the spirit that I gave it in. And one thing God spoke about Job's friends, that he rebuked the one and said, you have not correctly represented me. You can glean a lot of nuggets from the book of Job, but it was a misrepresentation to Job, way off. Job, he said something like, if your soul was in my place, I would comfort you with my words. In other words, they had no idea. If they were in his shoes, their whole words would be completely different. So they misrepresented God. It angered the Lord. And they were walking on thin ice. And he said, you go, in essence, you apologize, and my servant is going to pray for you, get you off the hook. But you're at his mercy right now and mine. Y'all, we got to be careful who we're talking to, you know, and be good representations of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit and his word is our help. And we see veteran disciples. You know, it's like there's so much grace and kindness that goes through Pastor Don. Y'all, we partake just being around them. And Eileen, just graciousness, kindness that just comes. Y'all know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a gift, a gentleness. Russell, you're just around him. He cares, he's compassionate. And I mean, I can just go on and on. And it was neat to have that little image of Pam, because I just got to see a little bit more of what God saw about Pam with the kittens. I saw her. And gentleness. I'm like, wow, that's really neat. So I love getting those images, seeing Elijah dressed in royalty as he comes out of this twirling into this But he's got to do his homework, son. You got to do your homework. You got to pursue that and get with God and say, yes, you know, just make me a better person. Remake me. I want to know the new person that I am. We all got to do our homework. We got to, you know, do this. As you seek God, you're going to find out this word will come to pass. But you got to desire that, you know, Ryan. And you've outgrown. And it's like, man, what's going to be? You know, is this 7 months, a year? You know, but it's like, you're ready, man. But he's counted you faithful. So it's a real good thing. And you need discernment there. His perfect will, acceptable will, and all those things. Let's go to John 8, verse 28. I'm going to get to the heart of this. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, talking about on the cross, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. I mean, what a statement there, that he was doing the Father's will. Not my will, but your will be done. That he was in the Father's will. The whole cross was an image of that as well. But as my Father taught me, next verse, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. You talk about discipline, submitted. As the Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father's not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. You know, as we mature in Christ, our whole motive for pleasing God will be perfected. You know, but even in the process of it being perfected, our motives, thank God we're aiming to please him. If it's to have a good judgment seat experience, that's good. That's progress. But it will go beyond that, you know. Just the more that we come to know him and be with him, you want to please him. It's a desire that's born and produced and is cultivated in being with him. Acts 10:38, some of y'all know it by heart. And when Peter was preaching, because, you know, they learned more about the Holy Spirit, these apostles. And Jesus told them, you know, hey, the Spirit's been with you, but the time's coming, he's going to be in you. That had to have been cool the first time they heard that. Like, in us? You know? Or how about when he said, yeah, and I'm going to be in you. Especially if a disciple or an apostle was 5'2 and he was 6'1. Like, how are you going to do this? And my Father and I, you know, the one who created the heavens and the earth, we're going to make our home in you. You're like, this is wild, isn't it? You think? So it's fascinating. But I've been camping at this for years. And, you know, I'm like, Lord, the reality of this, I want that to manifest your home in me. How far can we go with that? The fact that God's seed is in you talks about enormous potential. But if that seed is neglected, then your potential, your spiritual DNA is grossly neglected. That means our spiritual growth is being stunted. So how can we nurture the seed of God in us? And you go study and you'll find different opinions and studies about what is the seed of God. Is that the Spirit? Is that Christ in you? You could just, the Spirit of God, Christ in you, all goes together. It's the Word of God. It's revelation of Christ in you, hope of so many glorious things coming from you. Amen? And so nurture that seed. It takes time, doesn't it? We have to peel away. That's why the admonition, set your mind on things above, where Christ is and where you're seated with him, not on things on the earth. We got to deal with certain things on the earth. And I have a sign above my door going outside. Hey, going to the grocery store, getting fuel, all of that, that's just something we do on the side. But I'm living for Jesus. I'm a missionary everywhere I go. And it's just getting in there. It's getting everyone to go out. You know, my sole purpose is taking Christ where I go. Time is short. I'm a missionary. I'm an evangelist. I'm a prophet out there. I am Christ. I'm taking Christ with me. So I'm going to the grocery store on the side. And it's a paradigm shift. It is a major paradigm shift. Because if we're just, man, I went out today. I didn't tell anybody about Jesus. Christ in me did nothing? How can that be? How much did I miss? And is Christ in me, what can he do? If I'm a home of God, if he said, we're going to come and build our home in you. Now, I believe there's progression, revelation, and coming to the understanding. But we grow in these things and we go faith to faith. Grace for grace, and we grow in this grace, but it's faith to faith, and you were introduced to something. There are people that came here Sunday morning, their whole mindset was just to receive. I'm going to church. I did the church thing. There were some who came just, I'm ready to hear something, and they had a notepad. Some. There were some who came, Lord, how do you want to use me today? And they're like, is there a word you want to give me? Well, what do you want to do? There's some that came, you know, that, man, I get to be with God's people. This is my family. I'm going to worship the Lord, you know. And some are more motivated than others. Think about the worship team. They get to have a part in the service all the time. That's great. But some, you know, it's everything's different. But every member is to have a role. So the more that we're introduced to our role, that every member has a role. If 95% of this church had the understanding that we are a habitation of God and the Spirit, for the Spirit to do things, to worship God, but for the Spirit to do things, for God to work, everything would be different. It's not a knock, it's truth. Every church begins. You know, I began somewhere, you began somewhere. But the more on the whole, how, and that's the crux of the whole thing. How can this be assimilated into the hearts? It's not all up to us, ministers, because they all have a Bible. They have the Spirit. There's a desire. But as things are introduced, it's there. Set your mind. You know, and that truth is given. Even tonight, what we're doing is hearing about the gentleness of the Almighty, or the all-powerful Spirit of God, and he lives in you. But how can we have his operation operating in and through us more on a continual basis? And we're learning that. And so if you put the ministry of the Spirit up there, if the ministry of the Spirit was blaring up there and you see, well, just his names, the name, Spirit of Wisdom, not so much the name, but his attribute. Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of knowledge. From Isaiah 11, verse 2. You see those. Not just the fruit of the Spirit, but then now the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. Look at these gifts. Words of knowledge. You know, words of knowledge were given tonight effortlessly, just by abiding in the true vine. But what happens is, you know, there's gifts, there's words of knowledge. The Spirit wants to give these things. So there's a lot, Isaiah 11, 2, look at this. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the sovereign Lord was upon Jesus. Now it's upon us in Christ, the anointed one, the unction, it's in us. So look at the potential. Wisdom from above for a situation. And I wouldn't go as far as saying it's abiding in us, because I don't believe it is. He's abiding in us, But when he manifests, then it's given to us, because Jesus said, we need to go here. This is really important. In a moment, we're going to go to John 16. We need to see this. This is so powerful because it's given and released, and then it's in us. Now, we have the mind of Christ, but the mind of Christ is there as potential. Because I can guarantee, I've been around long enough and I've lived long enough, there are thoughts in my mind that are not the mind of Christ. Yours too. And there are things that you've said and I've said that wasn't the mind of Christ. Always spoken. It might have, y'all, come on, you know what I'm saying? But the potential's there. The mind of Christ with the Holy Spirit. So what I've learned to pray is, I know the mind of Christ is there. I want it to manifest. So when a thought comes from God at that moment, I have the mind of Christ. Now you can say, no, I've got the mind of Christ. It's in my mind. Okay, that's good. I have the mind of Christ. Because that was Paul saying that in 1 Corinthians 2. But we have the mind of Christ in what he was saying there too. We have that so that we can know. So you have the Spirit of God so that you can know. You can know. But you don't always know. But as you seek God, you come into the knowing because it's given to you. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And I'm going to prove that. In John 16, go to John 16. Verse, some of y'all already know it. Try 16, we're going to see. This is so neat. Verse 13. John 16, 13. However, when he, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, his attribute, his character, his nature, he's truthful, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. He doesn't do that. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now the next verse is really important. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That means you don't have it yet when you're seeking for something. But the potential and the promise for you to have it is there. So the Holy Spirit will never speak on his own authority. In other words, when the Spirit moves, the Father's like, well, did you see that, Jesus? No, never. Because it's always initiated from them. The Father gave the Spirit the authority to Jesus when he was ascended on high. We know that in the Bible. To be poured out. Jesus baptizes people. But here's... I had an amazing encounter. Will was right here. People left. It was a day that I felt, Robin, I just feel you to come and pray for me. It was after a service, and things were dwindling down, and Lauren Waits was here. She came and sat, and I was like, stay close, man. The glory of God's going to manifest. And we can miss things. We've got to stay hungry. We've got to stay hungry. Y'all, I left the church. 40 people came. An hour, 45 minutes before their 5 o'clock Sunday service. And it keeps, their people. And I was there at 3:45 because Lauren was going to be a door greeter. And she was assigned to do that. And I'm like, wow, people are already waiting. They keep the doors shut to the sanctuary. And because the team is praying, they're being ready. There's no... you know, distractions and stuff, and they're ready, and the doors are shut, and they open the doors at 4:30, 4:15, 4:30. So I had to wait out there, and people were just lining up. They're people, just hungry. They already had their morning service. They're coming. Service starts at 5, like ours. And man, they opened the doors. They just started coming. They just kept coming in. And by 4:45, it was like 500 people in there. You are in Dallas. That's their people, hungry. And they began to worship. And then, this, you know, the worship leader was just prompted, hey, the music, just instrumental, just sing in the spirit. I was like 90%. Lauren's saying, Dad, this is happening. It's been happening. It's just gone. They can lose that if they let that hunger and desire go. But God's moving miraculously, just like our Sunday nights, words of knowledge, healings. Just somebody has, not cross-eyed, but one of your eyes is just moved in just a little. Is there anybody here that has your eye? You're not cross-eyed. Everything's okay, but one eye just slants in just a little. Anybody? There's people leaving. Nobody? Anybody here is dumb? Your right, what? What's that? What's he saying? I can't.
His eye does
something
weird. Yeah.
Okay. So we want to pray for you because the Lord wants to fix that, wants to heal that. It's just staying open. And just stepping out. And you just keep stepping out, just staying open. Because he loves us. He, you know, he heals. He's a healer. He cares about us. And people, he wants to meet people's needs. And he wants this ministry to multiply. The Bible says the ministry of the Spirit excels in glory. So if glory is not excelling, you know, I'm like, what's happening, you know, in my life? So I want to stay hungry. And I see that, and I want to see the glory of God manifest. It's the glory of God. It's his plan. It's his will. And I realize I can preach right past the Spirit and miss him. I can pray past the Spirit. I can spend 2 hours and have my agenda with the Bible. And I don't want to be like that, you know. I want to grow in these things for me. And that's my heart. And because he knows what he's doing. He has an agenda. And I don't want to grieve him. And he just really has been. You know, even some of you guys in CLF, we just waited. Because he knows people's needs. He knows what's going on. And something would happen. I'm like, God, I missed that. I wouldn't condemn myself. It just... Lord, I need to grow. I need to be, just help me, God, because that was important. They were right here. You knew it, and I could have known it, and it would have made a difference. You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's healthy. That's healthy. And all it is just, it's learning to be not awkward in quietness, waiting, silence, not rushing, and just pausing. What's going on? What are you doing? You know? And anybody's left side right here, tender? In your stomach? Anybody just tender right here? Anybody's stomach just hurting them right there? Might have been someone who left. I just had some of these words. All right. Just stay open. Acts 10:38. Oh, no, this is where we were, right here. So back to this thing. I'm going to need to wrap this up. And just, so Robin prayed for me. Spirit of God just came strong. Said something to Lauren, and then they left, and will appoint. I couldn't really stand up. And he stayed right here graciously, just seeing if I needed help. And I just began to tell Will what I was seeing. And but one of the things that was amazing, I just wanted to share that. It was just, I'm in the Spirit, and I saw the Holy Spirit's hands. I guess it's all in the Spirit. And Jesus was standing in front of me in the Spirit, and he had his hands out. The Holy Spirit's hands came out, and Jesus put something in his hands, and his Holy Spirit came back in. And I was like, my Lord. And that scripture came. And what he's just revealed to me, son, I've just given the Spirit something. He's going to reveal to you what I wanted to declare. And I'm going to give this, and it's going to grow, and you're going to be declaring these things. And see, I already knew that, but that vision made that very personal, very real. So because he's grooming me as he wants to groom you, and it's just made me to become very dependent. So when I'm worshiping God, this has been years that I've done this, 5 years of worshiping, paying attention to the Spirit, but it's increased, especially with that vision last year, that, you know, Lord, I just know as I'm worshiping, I'm seeking you, when I'm reading, that your Spirit is searching the things of God, yea, the deep things of God. And Jesus is ready to declare things. But he's way up there. How does he do it? He gives it to the Spirit. And the Spirit will give it to you. It manifests. And that's, when you read 1 Corinthians 2, if you go home and just read 9 through 12, 1 Corinthians 2, that's where Paul said, these are the things we speak. And there's a whole lot of talking among Christians. But it's so rich when you get with people comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Hey, what did the Spirit tell you? That is so cool. It's not a debate. It's just rich fellowship. No one's hogging the conversation. It's just rich. You know, say like, well. And it's not like, oh, well, he stole me. It's like, what, Jacob, he said that to you? That is so cool. And you comment on that. It's just rich. And you affirm, you know, what he's saying there. Isn't that neat, y'all? And look what the Spirit will do. Last three lines. He will glorify me. See, the Spirit in us will glorify Jesus. Man, when the Spirit's moving and people are being filled with the Spirit, he's not glorifying himself. He's glorifying Jesus and the Father. I had to correct the church in a nice way in Missouri because it was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. And it was some of the old, you know, but I just gently, I was saying, beloved, and Rhonda knows this. I said, you know, when people come, they need to hear about Jesus. Because the Bible says in Colossians that he is to have preeminence, supremacy. Now, don't take this wrong, because I'm speaking. The Holy Spirit's in me. And if I say something wrong, I'll feel the grief right here. So he's very happy. I have his joy saying, yes, Raphael, tell him what Jesus said. I will glorify Jesus. Yeah. Now, I do sing songs with the Spirit, but I don't worship the Spirit. I worship God, the Father, and the Son. When I acknowledge the Spirit, I speak to him. But my conversation is mostly, and I'm still working that out. Lord, help me to know. You know, people grow in that. Just help me to know. He's my helper. He's living. But I know when he speaks to me, Jesus said, it's the Spirit of your Father. And I just say, Father, thank you. See, it's the Spirit of my Father because it's all coming from him. Right. Thank you, Father. Jesus, thank you. Y'all get that? See, that's, you're always safe. Always secure, you know, and doesn't say you can't speak to the Spirit, but he's speaking to you with the Father. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say. It'll be given to you. It'll be the Spirit of your Father. So it's the Spirit of your Father. It's like, Father, thank you for communicating to me through your Spirit in me. Does that make sense? And it's just, it's good. It's good for us to know this because that way, you know, we don't go off over here. It's okay in our church, y'all. Don't be gun shy. Man, the Holy Spirit just said, that's good. Say it. That all right? That's Bible too, all right? But it was in a church where everything was just the Holy Ghost. It's like they took pride. And so the Lord just wanted to channel them. You know, Jesus is to have preeminence. And that name ought to be really shining, you know, real good. Can y'all say amen to that? I'm going to finish with, I need to finish. In the late 90s, I was blessed with an amazing visitation of the Holy Spirit. And I yearned for that, for him to manifest, and which will come to pass. And so some of you have heard this, so I was quickly gripped with a fearful awe of his presence, which soon turned to peace. And I've been waiting in his presence night after night, and so I finally got was rewarded openly. The first thing revealed to me in this encounter was his almighty power. His power filled my living room and the dining room. It's all open. And I knew that if anyone with any kind of sickness, disease, or who may have been completely disabled or impaired in any way, if they came in where his power was, they would be instantly healed and made whole without any effort. You just know that. It was an amazing encounter. And then as fast as the power came, it was gone, as if quickly drawn back to himself. I was then very much made aware of his gentleness. I was suddenly in the presence of supreme gentleness. Amazing revelation. And it was here in this revelation, being very aware of how gentle he is, that he was one that could be very easily grieved. And I knew at that moment that if I or someone grieved him, then his presence and power would be quenched. Therefore, to grieve the Holy Spirit is to quench him, and to quench him is to miss out on all he's there to do. It is to miss out on all he has to offer in that moment of time. One way to describe this would be like someone coming to assist and bless a certain person. But when he arrived with his blessing, or with his abilities to help, he witnesses that person speaking harshly to another person. And seeing this, he's grieved. He then says to the one he came to bless, "Please pardon me. I'll come by some other time." It was God's wisdom to reveal to me his almighty power before his almighty gentleness. So here's your last scripture. I didn't say last scripture yet, did I? Good. Ephesians 4. You know it, but we're going to focus just on this. I'm going to leave it with you. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. We're just going to notice the place where it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't cause him sorrow. You know, the fact that the Holy Spirit, while we're going there, in us is God's Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of Christ Jesus, says a lot. As you know, the nature of God. So, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then it says, let all bitterness, all these things, cause the Holy Spirit sorrow in us. Again, I believe the most sensitive area of your life is your spirit. This is how words, some Christians have gotten tough over heart, and it's not a good toughness. They've gotten hard and they've become rough people, and because they won't let God heal them, and they've gotten tough over those things. And the area, what I mean, is rough, and they've become insensitive to the Spirit. They need to be healed. All that toughness has got to go, and they got to become strong in spirit, and become more sensitive to the Spirit in them, and you'll become sensitive to Him in you. There's more to that, so just read between the lines with your mature spiritual mind, please. And so corrupt words grieve the Spirit. So back when my children were small, Stefan was about 8 years old. We're having dinner, and there was something we were talking about, so I don't remember what that was. And so I could still remember this. It's still tender to this. Here's my son, and then Tim, Rhonda, Lauren, and so we were talking about something, and Stefan said something that opened the door for a sarcastic remark. And some things I grew up with, and my brothers, and all refined now, and just all these remarks that build so fast. But I remember the thought came in my mind, and as fast as it came, the Holy Spirit showed me my son's spirit. I was so aware of his spirit while I'm looking at him. And I felt the grief of the Spirit just at the thought and what it would cause him, what would it do to his spirit. And it kept me. And I just remember, I can still see it. And I said, my countenance changed. And I said, y'all, excuse me, I need to go to the room. And I went to my bedroom and I just wept. Look, it wasn't even said, it didn't happen, but just the thought. And I had the awareness of what it would have done to his spirit. Not chewing him out, not yelling. God does such a work in me. You know, Raphael was, when he was in the process, but this remark. And I wept. And I just got in tune with what the sorrow of the Spirit's like. So when I saw that woman's spirit with all those bruises, my heart broke. And ministry began that day for that woman. It was just the beginning. But she, when no wise could be healed in that moment, it was a process. So there's more to this, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It means it vexes him. It causes him sorrow. And that's why David, his heart was pricked. It was like God pinched his heart by the Spirit within David when he cut off the corner of Saul's robe. And there were voices, man, he's in your hands, your enemy. And there's no law about not being able to do that other than the value of a robe and a king. But the Spirit was a law to David and convicted him. And I'm amazed. You know, I've been hurt a lot, but I was amazed at where I went. I don't even remember anyone coming to apologize of the things that were done. And, you know, she knows that. I remember a woman that took offense at something I did, and the Lord just said, you know, they wanted to meet, but I had to make an authoritative decision. And I was led by the Spirit. But this was an individual that no matter how you did it, there was going to be something. And I was praying. Do y'all see the value of the Spirit? And before we met, and the Lord just put a reference, I looked it up. I'm like, wow, someone comes, shows you a fault. If you hear them, if they hear you, you've gained. And the Lord just said, just hear. Be sensitive. Acknowledge. Own up to how her perspective and apologize. I'm like, Lord, you led me to do what I did. It's her perspective. And nonetheless, it bothered her. You apologize. Because you're going to gain. And I did. And when she began to share what she did, it was hard to keep my mouth closed, not to defend, and not say, well, the Lord and I didn't. Oh, the value of listening. And you know what? It gained. Everything just smoothed out. Just to listen. And just to hear. And from that point of view, I just said, I see. Will you forgive me for being insensitive? That's what I said. Just, will you forgive me? But I'm amazed at how we can go. Either we don't feel conviction, or we just think, well, it'll get better. And we all need to be sensitive to things we say and pay attention. Lord, do I need to go? Do I need to apologize? Do I need to take responsibility? Because if we're not, and if we grieve the Holy Spirit, y'all, we're quenching. And if he's quenched, he's not flowing. So let's pay attention to the gentleness. He is so gentle. And he's spirit, which means he can be grieved easily. And what grieves him? That's a whole other topic. We looked at some things. Words. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. You just, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised how you just ministered and what you did and demonstrating. Thank you for the good things done this morning, good things done tonight, that you're answering prayers that went up before you over the weekend. God, I just thank you for these, your treasured, valued members that you purchased with your own. They're yours. You purchased them. That you're sprinkled with the blood. Lord, the words that were given, that were authentically given by you, and where there needs to be understanding, we just guard that, and you'll impart more understanding because your spirit will manifest. He's the spirit of knowledge and understanding. Thank you, God. Lord, we just ask you for a miracle, a creative miracle for Hunter as he comes. And we're just going to lay hands on him and ask you to straighten his eye or whatever's happening there to heal his eye. So, Lord, thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you. Just thank you, Lord. We want to be more open to your spirit who's with us, to lead us into the wonders of yourself and your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.